So look at Acts 1:1. Look at what Luke says. It says, "The former charities have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was what? Taken up after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, this is very important to note that Luke is actually talking or giving a narrative of certain things that Jesus did, and by extension, the book of Acts, certain things the apostles did. But where I wanted to point your attention to really would be, look at what happens in verse 3, "To whom also he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Now, so it means that Jesus was teaching for 40 days, not just 40 days intermediate teaching or spaced with a spaced teaching. He was teaching for 40 days back to back, right? So he was consistently teaching for 40 days. Now, it's important to note what he was teaching regarding. Bible says he was teaching for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. Right, so if you now jump all the way to verse 15 or verse 13, now when they were coming, they went up into the upper room and they were abode, both Peter, James, John, list all the names all through in verse 13. Then it now says in verse 14 that these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, right, with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. So we see Jesus doing a 40 days teaching. That by extension leads into a prayer meeting, right? Then something now happens in chapter 2. So look at chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind." Now, did they feel physical wind? Not really. There's a figure of speech there. It says, like. Right, there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of, right, as of, right. Look at verse 3, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of," right. If you look at Luke 3 quickly, if you look at Luke chapter 3, verse 21, Luke chapter 3, verse 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying." So when Jesus was about to be baptized, what was he doing? He was praying. Now what happened when Jesus was praying? Bible says the heaven was opened. Did you see that? The heaven was opened. So Jesus was praying, the heaven was opened. Okay, hold on. On Sunday, we started investigating this. And we said something very important. Look at verse 22. "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove." Now, is the Holy Ghost dove? No. Right? Is the Holy Ghost in the family of dove? No. That doves fly, doesn't mean the Holy Ghost flies? No. Did you get that? Right? So the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. Right, so you would consider the warmth or the calmness of a dove to compare what was being seen. Right, so what I'm saying is really in the baptism of Jesus, there was no dove that came to his head. Right, there was no dove. You know how we grew up believing there was a dove that pecked on his head, and we said that's the Holy Ghost. Even some people have their flyers and their their logos having a dove representing the Holy Ghost. That's one of the greatest mistakes you can make as a believer, or let me say that's one of the greatest erroneous things that ignorance can produce, symbolizing the Holy Ghost with a dove, strictly because of Luke 3, right? So when he says the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove, it means you will not see a dove. Did you get that? You will not see a dove. So when the Bible says, "And a voice came from heaven," it says a voice came from heaven. In the previous verse, it says heaven was opened, right? So what was happened before heaven was opened? Prayer was being done by a man. So a man was praying, heaven opened, there was a voice that came from the heaven that opened. Not far-fetched to see that the voice that came from the heaven that opened is from the voice of the man that prayed, or that was praying, or that was talking. Are we together? Right? So the heaven opened. You see, if you think the door there is physical, the heaven that opened will literally need to be the sky that splits into two. Then it will mean that there will be a voice that was echoing from the sky that John was hearing. No, that's not what was happening, right? The heaven there that opened will be found in the fact that a man was speaking or was talking. Did you see that? Right? So a voice came from heaven. Thou art. So it will be on the utterance of the lips of a man, you will find the voice of heaven. Did you hear that? Yeah, I've said that one more time, right? On the utterance, is on the utterances. Now, if you go back to Matthew 26, Bible tells you, 28 really, it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, if you pay attention to what I've been saying over the past few weeks, you would actually realize that when the Bible says heaven and earth, it's not speaking about the sky and where man is standing, right? And furthermore, a lot of us believe that heaven is a concept used to teach about the place where dead people go to when they die. Do you get that, right? So it will mean that if we go back to Genesis 1, what the Bible will be teaching is in the beginning, God created into bracket where men go to when they die, and earth, or heaven into bracket, where men go to when they die, and earth into bracket, where men live or when men are buried when they die. You understand? It will play with a lot of things anyways, but fundamentally, a careful study will show us that the use of heaven and earth will be a concept in scripture to speak about the supernatural merged with the natural, right? So it's a temple language, right? So the temple was a place used to speak about the housing, or a place where the housing of a supernatural being will be found. Did you get that, right? Then they will put an idol in the temple to represent the being. So that's the concept of heaven. So if we do a careful study of heaven and earth, you actually realize that heaven and earth is not more than speaking about that which cannot be seen and that which can be seen. Did you get that, right? So when you look at Luke 3, the Bible says the heaven was opened. What will heaven fundamentally be? That which is not seen was opened, right? So it means that what is being described is a voice was heard. In the real sense, where would that voice be heard from? It will be heard from a man which can be seen, right? So it means that a man will be the housing or the house where heaven and earth will meet. Or a man will be the representation of what you call heaven and earth. Or really, heaven and earth will speak about how the union of the supernatural and the natural will come into one beat or one piece. Did you get that? So the heaven that opened and a voice coming out will be found on the lips of Jesus, right? I took you there to explain Acts 2. So go back to Acts 2. Now, go back to Acts 2 carefully. If you look at what's happening in Acts 2, you would see a lot is happening actually. So the Bible now says, and there appeared unto them, verse 3, cloven tongues like as of fire. Did you get that? Right? And it sat upon each of them. Now, is there fire in that sentence? Yes. Was there fire seen? No. So look at verse 4. And they were filled. Okay. Go back to verse 2. Suddenly, there came a sound from where? Heaven. There came a sound from where? Heaven. Now, what did Luke tell you? Now, this is Luke writing Acts 2, and Luke wrote Luke 3. So Luke 3 tells you a voice came from heaven whilst a man prayed. Right, so if Luke is telling you Acts 3, a sound from heaven is not far-fetched. So it will mean that the voice from heaven in Luke 3 will be similar to the sound from heaven in Acts 2. Did you see that? So suddenly there came a sound from heaven. How do you know where how do you know or identify a voice from heaven? There was a man who was about to be baptized that was praying, Jesus Christ. Now, how do you know a sound from heaven in Acts 2? There were men who were together, they were talking. Let's start with talking. Did you get that? Now, the question now becomes, what were they talking in? Now, if you look carefully in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. If you pay attention to what is being described, Luke is describing one and the same thing. So, sound from heaven, cloven tongues of fire, is an experience or an event or a concept or something that was happening. Right? It now says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? And began to speak with tongues. Began to speak with tongues. And began, now, if you look at Acts 2 and look at Luke 3, look at Luke 3, look at Acts 2, what is similar? You have the mention of the Holy Ghost, You have the mention of men talking. You see, they began to speak in Acts 4. Jesus was praying, that is talking. Bible says the Holy Ghost descended like a dove, right? Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So there's similarity of men talking, the Holy Ghost present, then there was similarity between what? Voice and sound. From where? From heaven. Yeah? Did you see that? So what will that be? That is, they began to speak. So what is verse 4 saying? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began will mean that is, they began. Right, so they began to speak with other tongues. Look at that carefully, right? Look at that carefully. There is sound from heaven, Acts 2. There is voice from heaven, Luke 3. Right, there's the Holy Ghost descending like a dove, Luke 3. There's the Holy Ghost that is being filled or filling people in Kurt. Yeah, should I say this? Right, so if the Bible tells you that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? And the Bible tells you the Holy Ghost descended like a dove. It means that the narrative that is being spoken about are similar on account of the fact that a man is talking. So who is the man that was talking in Luke 3? Jesus was praying about to be baptized. Who are the people that are talking on the day of Pentecost? These are the people who Jesus taught for 40 days from Acts 1. Are we together? So what did that scripture not say? The scripture did not say the Holy Spirit began to speak for them. No. The scripture did not say the Holy Spirit began to flog them to speak. No. The scripture did not say the Holy Spirit forced himself on. No. It is that they began to speak. So it means that the believers were the one willing in themselves to give themselves to speaking. So in that they speak, or in that they spoke, pardon me, in that they spoke, a third party sees it. And what does the third party see? The third party either sees the Holy Ghost descend upon a man like a dove, or the third party sees men are filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Right? So a third party will see. Now, what is really happening? Men are talking. What is seen? Or what? How did they describe what is seen? The Holy Ghost descending like a dove upon Jesus. Then an utterance came. What did the utterance say? This is my beloved son. Now, on Sunday, I said, through your mouth, through your lips, God wants to communicate his thoughts to men, to man. God wants to communicate his will, his plan to man. So it is that same mouth you used to communicate your thoughts that God wants to use to communicate his thoughts. Do you get that? Right? So from the same mouth Jesus used to scold, to teach, to instruct, was the same mouth where we could see, thou art my beloved son. Right? So it is the same mouth these guys were using to, you know, express their unbelief after the resurrection, was the same mouth that they used to speak. The fact is that they spoke. Yeah? What did they speak with? He says they spoke with other tongues. Now, mind you, the word other tongues there, the word other there deals with the word itros, right? H-E-T-R-O-S. Now, what is itros? Is a word that speaks about a different type of language, right? So go back to Mark 16. Look at Mark 16 quickly. So look at Mark 16. Let's see something carefully. So look at Mark 16 and verse 15. And Jesus came and said unto them, he said, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized is saved. Look at 17. These signs shall follow them. What is a sign? A sign will be that which points to. Did you get that? Right? So it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, we said that word new. There is a word kainos or kainos. K-A-I-N-O-S. Right? And that word speaks about that which is actually not from an origin that is evolving. Right, so it doesn't speak of an evolving language, but really speaks of an entirely different, unique language. Right, so what will follow the man that believes fundamentally? Casting out of devils and what? Speaking with tongues. So when you see speaking with tongues, what should that be? That is a sign pointing to what? What? The reality of what? The resurrection. So when a man is dispossessed from the possession of the devil, or when a devil is being cast out from a man, what is that? A sign. A sign to what? What is done via the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Did you see that? So what was happening in Acts 1? A sign. A sign what? Pointing to the fact they had believed. Right? Now, I said something over the past few weeks. Tongues is only spoken by men that have believed. Are we together? Let me say that clearly. Tongues is only spoken by men that have believed, Right? So can a man who has not believed come and say nonsense and we say it is tongues? Yes. You see, a comedian who is not born again can actually crack a joke and in his joke speak tongues. Right? So in his mind, he's communicating tongues as an example in the joke he's cracking. But what he just spoke is not tongues. Why? Because tongues is only an offshoot and a language that he will call an offshoot of the spirit received. So tongues is a sign to show the spirit has been received. Right? So can people say nonsense and sound like tongues? Yes. What did they just say? Nonsense. That's it. Yeah. So what is it? It is nonsense that sounds like tongues. Are you here? Have you gone home? You're home, right? So in the real sense, Bible now says that this sign shall follow them. So Acts 2, go back to Acts 2, 4. So if you look at Acts 2, 4, Acts 2, 4 now says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, that is, they began to speak. So what is the different way of saying they began to speak? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Right, so they spoke on account of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Then when we see it, we say they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Right, you see, a lot of people, charismatics, a lot of times, we find it difficult to differentiate between the spirit within and the spirit upon. That's for lack of better words in that theology. So people teach that spirit within is the spirit that you receive when you become born again, but spirit upon is what you have to wait for the spirit to now descend on you. That's why you see a lot of believers, you ask them, why don't you speak in tongues? We are waiting for the spirit, right? We are waiting for the spirit. I've only received the spirit inside. I want the spirit to now come upon. Subconsciously, you've not come to understand that in that doctrine, you've thought that there are two Holy Spirits. Yeah? Right? So what is spirit within? Spirit within is the spirit that we receive on account of believing the gospel. What is spirit upon? Spirit upon is taking from the spirit within to place upon. How do you do that? By actually performing or doing an action. So when I speak in tongues, what is that? A third party sees and says the spirit is upon him. Not a different spirit, but on account of the fact that I have willfully taken from the wealth of and the riches of the spirit within me, and a different or third party can now see a demonstration. Did you get that? Right? So they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Other tongues as the spirit gave them utterance. Now, mind you carefully, we started looking at this on Sunday when I answered the question. It says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Stop. Every man heard them speak in his own language. Take it easy there. Right? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another. Mind you, for them to be able to say one to another, it means they understood a common language. Did you get that? So when he says we heard them speak in our own language, it is a common language they were referring to. I said that one more time. You see, when you have a crowd of people, now how many people do you think were here? Look at Acts 2:41. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So what is happening in Acts 2:41 started from Acts 2:1. Which by extension started from Acts 1:1. Jesus started teaching, then they prayed, right? Then the day of Pentecost came. Now, what was happening? What was the conclusion of the matter? Verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Now, who are the them that was being spoken about them? There, it would be the them, minimum 120, that were praying in Acts 1. So it means 3,000 souls were added, right, to the 120, right? And history shows a lot of times when these narratives are being communicated, men are the only ones taken into account, that is minus their wives and children. So let's just leave that 3,000 souls really. So 3,000 souls got born again upon a teaching. So go back to Acts 14. So go back to Acts 14. Peter, Acts 2. Acts 2. Right? Peter, look at Acts 2:14. Now, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. So only one voice was lifted, right? And said unto them, so only one voice spoke, right? Ye men. So whose voice was heard? Peter. For them to have heard Peter, it means they all understood his language. So it means that the 3,000 people that got saved in Acts 2:41 understood the language Peter spoke. So it means that a common language was in play in the book of Acts chapter 2. Did you see that? So Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, ye men of Judea, and ye that dwell in Jerusalem. So Peter starts teaching from verse 14 all the way to what? Verse 41, where we now see the record of 3,000 souls saved. No record shows that as Peter was teaching, other voices of interpretation stood up. You see, this is how to study the Bible, really. Right? Read in context. Read forward, read backward, read inside, read in the middle, just to find out what the context is speaking about. Right? So a lot of people believe that they heard, that the people that were hearing languages were hearing different languages from the mouth of the people that spoke tongues. Read. Let's clear it first. Bible says, each of they heard their language. The next thing in verse 8 now says that they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, means that they understood themselves for them to be saying one to another. Think about it this way. If I'm from Togo and the next person beside me is from Ghana and I can only speak my dialect and he can only speak his dialect, how can we communicate to ourselves? It will be difficult. For us to be able to communicate to ourselves, it means we would need to understand a common language. So when the Bible says they were saying one to another, it means a common language is in play. To support that doctrine, really, you now see that Peter stood up for 3,000 souls to be saved, minimum. So for 3,000 people to have been saved means probably there were 3,000 plus X people who were attending that session. Right? X will stand for the number of people who possibly did not get saved in that event, on that conversation. Right? For starters. So Jesus, Peter stood up, 3,000 people were saved upon Peter's teaching. So now, it means that when you now go back to Acts 1 or Acts 2 and see different countries and nations mentioned, it's not saying or speaking about the various languages of those people altogether. Because it will mean that on a minimum, you have nothing less than 12. Okay, let's just read it and see what's up for all. Now, look at verse 8. How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes. Now, hold on. What was happening in Acts 2? Go back to verse 1. The day of Pentecost. What is day of Pentecost? The day of Pentecost is that ceremony celebrated by the Jewish nation where their people come together from various parts of the world to celebrate. Now, if you're in Edinburgh, there's a festival that's one of the biggest festivals in the world that happens in Edinburgh during summer. And that is the festival that we call the Fringe Festival. Now, people from all over the world come to Edinburgh from July upwards to attend the Fringe Festival. Now, if a Peter stands up in Edinburgh to speak on the day of the Fringe, on one of the days of the Fringe, he would speak in a language that 3,000 people or more will listen to him, which is what? English. Did you get that? Right? So what was happening? Something was common to all these people that were there. They came for a day of Pentecost. By extension, they were living in Jerusalem and all of that. So that's why verse 9 says, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia. So let's count it. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt, right? And the part of Libya, that's 11, 12, about Cyrene, that's 13, Rome, Geo, proselytes. All together. Crete and Arabia. So a minimum of 13 nationalities were mentioned. Is Luke telling you that all these 13 nationalities heard their language from the day of Pentecost prayer? No, that cannot be the case. Because, mind you, one sound is coming from 2, 3, 4, 5 people at the same time. It will be difficult to sieve out a sound. That's the example of there are many voices. Did you get that? Right? So, 120 people, for instance, on the minimum, were sitting, right, on the day of Pentecost when they were in one accord praying and began to speak with other tongues. So, 120 people speaking in other tongues. Now, to assume that 3,000 people outside could sieve out their various languages, which will be split into 13 different nationalities or nationalities, will be to think too big of the human mind or the human hearing system. Think about it this way. You have 120 people in a room. Then there are 3,000 people outside the room. Now, the 120 people in the room are speaking 13 different languages at the same time. And the 3,000 people, no matter how littered they are on the streets, all of them could all hear their particular languages from the 120 people. That defies logic. Right? That defies logic. Do you get that? So the question now becomes, what is really happening? Look at what happens in verse 11. we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So let me put it for you in context. To say, right, that 120 people spoke about the wonderful works of God on a minimum of 13 different languages, right, at the same time, then 3,000 people at the same time could selectively hear the various languages of these 120 people at the same time. That's to think so highly of the human mind. Right? You really know how difficult it is for you to listen to a phone call when someone is talking beside you. Use yourself as an example. You really know how difficult it is for you to follow up on a call, right, at your workplace, right, when somebody beside you is speaking to another customer. Right, so in the real sense, you know that you lose track. Now, being able out of 3,000, now mind you, if we said it was supernatural ability, listen to this: 3,000 people that got saved plus X were not born again as at Acts 2:4. They were not, because Bible, they were just born again. They believed from Acts 2:33-34 when Peter started teaching. So let's say from verse 14. So what we're dealing with from verse 13 backwards, right? They were not born again, right? So for them to have it will not work that way, basically, right? So 3,000 souls will not individually sieve out their languages from the midst of 120 people in a room. No, that was what was happening. And imagine, when they now see by their languages, all they are hearing is the wonderful works of God. Take it easy. Yeah, take it easy. Okay? Right? So why could they hear wonderful works of God? It's because there was another language that was common to them all that will make them hear it. Did you see that? So they were all amazed and were in doubt. Don't forget again, saying one to another. You see, for there to be a two times of saying one to another, would that mean people from Mesopotamia, they were together in one side? They are mini group amongst the 3,000, right? And people from Egypt, they were together? No. That will not be the narrative, right? So they were saying one to another. What does this mean? Others were mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. Why do you think it was contradictory? Why do you think they were hearing something and they were saying this is strange? It is because something was happening in Acts 2, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Something was happening. What was happening? Let's use Peter's interpretation to explain what was happening. So go to Peter and verse 14. So what is Peter doing? Peter is saying that 3,000 people are outside and they are wondering what is happening. Right? Peter now stands up in verse 14 and says unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. He didn't say hearken to my words via my interpreter. It means as he spoke, they heard. So who is he talking to? Men of Judea and ye that dwell in Jerusalem. That means the people who are from the place and the people who are dwelling in the place that will still participate in what? Day of Pentecost. Right? Just like the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh. Right? I partook of that last year. I am not from Edinburgh. Did you get that? So Peter will stand up and say, those of you dwelling in Edinburgh and those of you from Edinburgh. Right, he's talking to different categories of people amongst the crowd. So he says you with one standing, and all of them could hear upon one hearing. So Peter began to teach and teach and teach and teach, then 3,000 got saved. So it means that, you see, if there needed to be on a minimum of 13 interpreters to be interpreting what was saying, this thing will most likely last days into weeks. So let's use Peter's explanation to go back to what was happening. So look at verse, don't forget, Peter said, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell, listen to me, right? Hearken to my words. These men are not drunken as you suppose. What is he saying? You see these people, they are not drunk. Seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Now, third hour of the day will be at about 9 a.m. in the morning. Right? Because usually they tend to start their day from 6 a.m. Right? So the third hour of the day will be 9 a.m. Now, so Peter now says, this is that. Yeah? Bless Peter. Peter says, this you see is that which was. Right? Which was what? Spoken. So he's saying, what you see is actually something that had gone forth from the lips of the prophet Joel as utterance. So what did Joel say? Joel says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Mind you, I've talked about last days in passing, right? Last days is not when people start taking COVID vaccine. Last days is not when girls want to become boys and boys become girls. Are we together? You know, I saw a very funny video now. You give birth to your child, or people give birth to their children, and they do gender reveal, right? Pink and blue, right? And everybody says it's pink, everybody says it's blue. 5 years down the line, 20 years down the line, the pink that was pink, everybody saw as pink, is now saying, I want to be blue. Anyways, he says, that is that which was spoken by Prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days. What is last days? Last days is a statement or a phrase that is used to speak about in the day we will see the fulfillment. Are we together? So we are in the last days. So look at it. Joel spoke about last days. Right, and Peter is saying that what Joel spoke about as last days is what we are seeing. So in his last days started from the Jesus' resurrection, so to say. Right? So we have been in the last days, we will be in the last days. Just leave that matter that in that way. Right? So last days is not when people start using rainbow color to do whatever they want to do, or people start using no. Last days is not because evil increased. No. We are being in the last days. So he says, Joel says, in the last days, saith God. So Joel was talking, but who was speaking? God. Wait. Is it God that wrote Joel? No. Who wrote Joel? Prophet Joel wrote Joel. Who was speaking? God. So Joel was speaking and writing, or writing the intent or the thought of God. Don't forget, through the mouth of man, God will express his thoughts to man. Through the mouth of man. The same mouth you use to do anything you do, right? Is the same mouth to eat, to drink, to do whatever you want to do, right? And it's the same mouth that God will use to communicate his thoughts to another man. So there's so much that goes on with your mouth. Are we together? So the Bible now says, Joel said, or it is written, look at what Peter does not miss his words. He says, this verse 16, this is that which was spoken. So Joel said. Yeah? So Joel said, what did Joel say? Joel said, God said. So what is Joel saying? Joel is saying what God was saying. So from the lips of man, you find the thoughts of God expressed vocally. Are we together? Right? So it's not far-fetched. When John says, I heard a voice from heaven, where is he hearing? From the mouth of a man, right? So God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Are we together? You see, it's easy for you to think in Luke 3 that if it's Jesus that was actually the one talking, why was the scripture now speaking as if it is a third person that is talking, right? Because when it says, thou art my beloved son. Do you know what that means? Jesus, from the mouth of Jesus, we hear, thou art my beloved son. About Jesus. Did you get that? That's the same thing about what this prophecy you're seeing. From the mouth of Joel, you are hearing, I will. Who is the I will? The I will is not Joel. Joel is not the one that power the spirit, right? It's God. So it means that God's voice. Why do you think it's going to be that way? Because language is God's primary method of communicating his thoughts to man. So because God will use man to communicate his thoughts to men, it means that God will use man's language to communicate his thoughts to man. Altogether, right? So when you see me say the Greek word, the Hebrew word, is because language is too important in understanding the Bible. Now, what did Joel say? Joel says, God said, I will pour out my spirit. So it means that you will see Joel, and Joel will say, ha 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 ha, and I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, utterance. Right? So what should you not see? Joel talking. What should you see? God through the mouth of Joel talking to other men. Yeah? Yeah? So you hear, so it means that as an utterance, for instance, we're getting into utterance gradually. So it means as an utterance, for instance, you can actually speak on behalf of God to another man. So you can actually look at, so there are two ways to go about it. So you can want to communicate God's plan to a man and say, yeah, God says to say to you that he's with you always, and you know, never be timid or afraid, for you're going to go through that storm and weather through that storm, no matter how difficult or how stern the storm might be, right? And you can as well say to another man, and I'll be with you forever, and I'll be with you up on through that, I'll be with you through that storm, and that storm will not actually get into you because I'm with you. So who is speaking? That is God speaking through the lips of a man. Really? Yeah? So that's what's happening. So I will pour. Who will you see talking? You will see Joel's mouth moving. Who is talking? God said. Right? So I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. See what Joel says. Don't forget, Luke already makes you see that they spoke in other tongues. That is another language. Peter is now explaining everything happening, including the another language. He says, Joel says, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. right? And they shall your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, right? On my servant and on my handmaiden will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall what? Prophet. You see, he says prophesy twice, right? So what is Peter doing? Peter is saying what you see actually is prophecy. But he says speaking in tongues. So he's speaking in tongues prophecy. So look at how Paul explains that doctrine. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, quickly. 1 Corinthians 14. Anyways, look at 1 Corinthians 14. Now, Paul says, follow after charity and desire spirituals, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now, he says, look at verse 2, where I'm going to for today's teaching. For he that speaketh in tongues, if you have a good Bible, the word unknown is in italics, right? So for he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men. Are we together, right? But unto God, for no one or none, yeah? Let's see what is there. For no man understandeth. What is that saying? That is really saying that for those people in Acts 2 to have said, we hear the wonderful works of God, and Luke says they spoke in other tongues, is either they were not speaking in tongues or there was something else that made them hear the wonderful works of God. Don't forget that, right? Remember now, Acts 2:4, Luke tells you they spoke with other tongues. Did you get that, right? Then you now go to Luke, 1 Corinthians, and it says no man understands where, or none understands, or no man understands when tongues is spoken. So how come they understood wonderful works of God in Acts 2? It means something was happening. Don't forget, right? Look at verse 3. He that prophesied speaketh unto men to what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Saints, for every time you speak on behalf of God, make sure the end goal of your talk or your words will be something edifying, something that will exhort, and something that will bring comfort. You know, I told you on Sunday, right? I don't know if I have that part of the teaching made available on Sunday, but I think I must have taught it in the main teaching, not the question part, right? Right? You don't go to a believer's meeting or you speak to another believer and say, I see death hovering around your head. Please close your eye. Please. Just close your eye. Are we together? How does that edify? You see, you know, you can actually say, I see death, right? And say it differently. Am I saying you cannot see evil happen? You can. But how would you say it? You must always understand there must be an unto edification, exhortation, comfort. Look at verse 4. It says, he that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself, right? But he that prophesieth edifieth who? The church. So when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. Look at Jude 20. Look at Jude 20. Then come back to 1 Corinthians 14. Jude has just one chapter, right? But ye beloved, building up yourselves. What is building up? That is the word you see edify in 1 Corinthians 14, oikadomio, right? To build up, right? To build up. So he says, but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the what? The Holy Ghost. Are we together? So when you pray in the Holy Ghost, who is edified? You are building yourself. When you pray in the Holy Ghost and prophesy, who is edified? The third party, that is the church that is listening to you. Are we together? Right? So it means that prayer fundamentally for the believer is it builds you. Are we together? Right? Now, it's important to say what I'm about to say right now. You know, over the past few weeks, there's been a trending song online about, if I don't pray, the devil will make mess of you and all those things. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people do some doctrinal write-ups and long story about how I'm preserved, I'm in the kingdom, I'm in the family of God, and all those kind of things. Well, you see, sometimes when you want to make some corrections, it's safe not to throw the baby and the bath away. Are we together, right? That you might not say those things those way, or the way that it's being said, doesn't mean that there are not specific instructions there. I mean, if you look at Jesus to Peter, you know, Jesus will tell Peter, the devil wants to, you know, make mess of you, really. Yeah, but I have prayed for you. So it means that in the real sense, we tackle what the devil plans to do by praying, right? And you know, in the real sense, you know, Jesus will tell Peter, stay praying, and Peter will sleep, and his congregation, they will sleep. Right, and what happens? We saw the mess that became of Peter. even though he was redeemed afterwards. Right? And so, you know, if I don't pray, my father still loves me. Don't end there. Don't end there. Because, you know, when you say those things, sometimes you might subconsciously reaffirm to yourself why prayer is a done deal. Right? You know, you know some believers, and they know more than Jesus. No, I don't. We don't pray. We just receive. We just praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. Right? Praise He. Praise He the Lord. You see, sometimes we just do a lot of very interesting things. I don't need to pray again. Jude tells you when you pray, you are building up yourself. Right? So praying in the Holy Ghost will be praying in tongues. You are building up yourself. Right? So when you want to build up others, what do? Whilst you pray in tongues, there's something called what? Prophesy. So go back to 1 Corinthians 14. I hope that is instructive to one or two, three of you here, right? So if you look at verse 4, he that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself, but he that prophesied edifieth. What is edify? Same edify. Build. What did Jude say about building? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So you build yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost, right? What did he say about edifying for the church? He says you prophesy. So if he says you pray in tongues, then for it to be beneficial to another person, you have to prophesy. What is he teaching? He's probably teaching tongues and what? Interpretation. We'll look at that next week. Yeah, on Sunday, right? So what is Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 teaching as prophecy? He's teaching as prophecy tongues than interpretation. So it means that because I want to prophesy to edify you, I won't lay hands on you and be praying in tongues and finish praying in tongues and leave you. No, I can start in tongues. In the real sense, I must end in English or in a language. Let me say English. In a language you understand. Why? Because my end goal is so that you are edified, exhorted, or comforted. Did you get that? So if we say pray for somebody, right, and the person on account of your prayer will listen to what you are saying. No, you don't do tongues. You actually do English, because or the language that can be understood, because it is from that language that you can supply exhortation, comfort, edification. Did you get that? Right? So look at verse 15. I would that ye spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. You see that? That the church may receive edifying. He's not saying if you prophesy. So a prophet is the one is greater than one who just speaks. That's not what he's teaching. He's teaching in context of the church. It is better for you to end your tongue in interpretation. That's what it means by greater is he that prophesy. He's not saying once you prophesy, I see. You are greater than everybody that speaks in tongues. No, that's not what he's teaching. He is teaching that as long as you are in the church, right, it is better. So don't look at greater as a more exciting office. No, it is that on account of the fact that a third party will need to be edified, a third party will need to be comforted, you don't end with tongues. So you start with tongues, might start with tongues, but you must have the word interpreted. Look at that again. I would that ye all speak in tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. What did he say last? He that edifies in, he that speaks in tongues, verse 4, speaks, edifies himself. He that prophesies, edifies the church. Don't forget, Paul is not writing to an individual. He's writing to a church. So it means that you will read 1 Corinthians in the context of a church, a people, not a person. Altogether. So I would that ye spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesied. That means it is more beneficial for you to end in prophecy in the church than to only end with what tongues, especially when a third party is to listen to you. Let that simmer. Where did I let simmer from? Let that simmer in. Did you get that? Right. So what is Paul teaching as prophecy? Is it, has it simmered? Well, what is Paul teaching as prophecy? Paul is teaching tongues as an interpretation to bring prophecy. Okay. So go back to Acts 2. So look at Acts 2. Acts 2 verse 17. Joel says, it shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and they shall what? All prophesy. So when you see sons, daughters, young men, he's not saying sons and your daughters will prophesy. That when it comes to young men, as long as you are young, it's only vision you will be seeing. Then your old men, their own is not vision, it's dream. Then the house girl and house servants, they will what? Prophesy. No, that's not what he's teaching. Joel was just trying to capture that all of humanity, as long as believe the message of the gospel, will be involved in the outpouring of God's Spirit. what is really teaching is that there's no segregation for those who can actually receive and flow in the power of the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Right? So, and they shall prophesy. So, you see, Peter did not say that Joel spoke about what, tongues. The only thing he speaks about from this verse, right, is actually on the fact that they shall prophesy. So it means that it is not far-fetched to see that what was happening in Acts 2 will be prophecy. So how do you identify that? That is why another ear could hear that a man that was not born again could hear about the wonderful works of God from their mouth. So what was happening? They spoke in tongues, and in the interpretation of tongues, another man could hear that they are saying wonderful things about the work of God. I hope that's clear. I hope that's clear. I hope that's clear. Right? So, what is that which was happening in Acts 2? What was happening in Acts 2 was tongues first, then interpretation. Right? Which now concludes or summarizes as what? The prophecy of Joel, which says that they shall what? Prophesy. Why do you think they spoke in tongues? Mark 16. This sign shall follow them that what? Believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall what? Speak with tongues. Are we together? Right? I hope I've done justice to that verse for you all in this verse. Now go back to 1 Corinthians verse 12. Chapter 12 rather. 1 Corinthians 12. I've spent the last 5-6 weeks explaining 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 1 to 11. But let me run through it again for some of you today. Look at verse 1. Now concerning spirituals. Now spirituals there will mean pneumaticos, that is things of the spirit. Brethren. Brethren there will be adelphos, that is those who have the same inheritance, or those who are from the same heritage, or those who have something in common. Right? Usually your brother will be that man which has something in common with you, which is blood. Right? So brethren here will be that man which has something common in common with you, which is blood. What is blood? Spirit. Don't forget, the blood of Jesus that washed your sins is not the hemoglobin and everything that came out from his skin. Rather, it is actually the spirit that is given upon resurrection. Right? So what washed your sins away is actually his blood. What is his blood? His spirit, new life, which is the water of God that God uses to wash man clean. Ezekiel 36 and John 3 and John 7. Right? Anyways, he says, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, right? So, Paul makes them see that there are diversities of gifts, right? There are diversities of gifts, but the same. Now, we said that the word diversity is the word variety in the Greek, or if you translate it properly, right? So, if you look at verse 4, it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Right, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation. Right, so diversities is the word varieties. You see that word differences in verse 5 is also the word varieties, and the word diversities in verse 6 is also the word varieties. So how do you read verse 4 very well? It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now there are varieties of administration, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, what is the word in verse 4? Go back to verse 4. Now, there are diversities, that is, varieties of gifts. Now, we said the word gift is the word charisma in the Greek. And that is the word that speaks of a natural, supernatural ability that a man that is born again automatically has upon being born again. Do you understand? So, those are natural abilities. So, when you say it's natural for a baby that is born to cry, right? There are also those things that are natural for the supernatural man that is born again. Right, so that's what he's trying to say. So, what he's dealing about are gifts in the real sense, they are faculties or things in the real sense that makes a man that a man is born with by default on account of the fact that he is born. Right, so it means that a man that is born again doesn't need to even pray before he can actually have charisma. What is charisma? Gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. Right, so a man that is born again already is endued with varieties of gifts. What is varieties of gifts? It will be varieties of what? The knowledge, or varieties of the endowment that is received by being what? Born again. Have you gone on? Right, so there are varieties of administration, verse 5, but the same Lord. Don't forget, he's been talking about the same. Now, there are varieties of operations in verse 6, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer, right? Who is the every man there? Every believer to profit with all. right? 41, we've explained this over time. When it says 41 is given by the Spirit, word of wisdom, he's not saying that one of the charisma, don't forget, he's discussing varieties of charisma, right? So he's not saying that one of the varieties of the charisma is given to Mr. A. Then Mr. B, the Spirit of God now gives you gift B. Did you get that? So it's not Mr. A has gift A from the Spirit, same Spirit. Mr. B has gift B from the same Spirit that gave Mr. A. Then Mr. C has gift C from the same Spirit that gave Mr. A and B. Then Sister or Mrs. D has gift D from the same Spirit that gave Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, Mrs. D. No, what he's saying is that for Mr. A, Mr. A has received gift A, gift B, gift C, gift D. All that the Spirit has, right, is plenty. Is plenty, right? That's why Paul calls it variety. Variety. So Mr. A has everything Mr. B has. And Mr. C has everything Mr. A, B, D has, or Mrs. B has. You get the point, right? So Mr. A has A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. That is 9 gifts, right? So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, all of them individually have gifts A to I. Do you understand? So it's not the Holy Spirit now says, you have big mouth, let me give you utterance. Everything utterance you take. Then you have big eyes, anything revelational gift, word of wisdom, take it, yeah, because your eyes are big, right? Then you can, no, that's not what is happening. It is for us, on account of the fact that you believe the gospel, you are endowed with the varieties of all the gifts altogether. So when you say, look at that verse, I taught you that scripture using Ephesians 4. Take note of these things and let them help in your study, because the more you keep listening to these things, the more they become part of you, right? So for to one, the Greek word to one is the Greek word men in the Greek. The same word interpreted as some in Ephesians 4, 9 to 11, when it says he gave some apostles, and prophets, and some pastors and evangelists and teaching and all those things, right? Some of us believe that it is the Spirit of God or Jesus in the real sense gives Mr. A. No, in the real sense, what he's discussing, it will be offices that various believers operate in at various times in their lives. Are we together, right? So when the word there, some, we said is the Greek word men, which is the word that means indeed or truly or certainly. Why did I tell you the Greek word? Because the translated word makes you miss the point. Because you will think that it is only a selected few. And that's why you see believers saying we are waiting for the Holy Ghost to descend on us. Why? Because I spoke to someone very recently, and the person said, recently, actually, a few days ago on a call. Lasted for over an hour or two or thereabout, and I was just explaining God's word, right? And I said something. The person was saying, Pastor Joshua, do you believe that not everybody can have all the things? She just, there's a way you ask some questions. It will sound intelligent to you, but to a mind who knows a lot, will just see that such a question, anyways, right? And I told her, I said, you see, the words that have been used in scriptures need to be paid attention to. Right, so when it says for to one is given by the Spirit word of wisdom, he's not saying you word of wisdom. Then when you do word of wisdom, another person will do word of knowledge. No. You can still do word of wisdom, can do word of knowledge, can prophesy, can speak in tongues. So how do you read that? The word some is the word certainly. Can you see how certainly passes the message across, other than some, right? So imagine you replace certainly to 41 in verse 8. So how do you read verse 8? For certainly, not for to one person, for certainly is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So a gift that is certainly given is word of wisdom. Now the word two is not there. The word there that follows after is the word another. Because you see, the only reason why to another must be there is because the interpreters have already made you see from verse 8, the first sentence, that it is to one. So it's almost like to Mr. A, word of wisdom is given by the Spirit of God. Then to another, into bracket, Mr. B, word of knowledge. No. What he's saying is, for certainly is given by the Spirit, word of wisdom. Another gift, yeah, by the same Spirit is word of knowledge. Not to, so you see verse 9. If you capitalize T-O, either you capitalize T or not, it is actually not about people, but actually about what? The gift. So don't forget, he's not discussing people. He has not been talking about people. From verse 1, he's been talking about things of the Spirit. Verse 4, varieties of the gifts. Verse 5, varieties of administration. So it's not people. He's talking gifts. So he cannot say to, he's not teaching to one person He's teaching these gifts I'm talking about in varieties. This is actually given by the Spirit to Mr. A, right? Another gift by the same Spirit to the same Mr. A is word of knowledge. Another, that which is of faith, another which is gift of healing, same Spirit. It doesn't make you lose track of that. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, right? To another, discerning of spirits, and to another, kinds of tongues. Now, hold on. The word diverse is not there in the Greek. Right? The word diverse is not there in the Greek. The word diverse is not there in the Greek. So it's in italics in your Bible. So how do you read that? Another gift is kinds of tongues or a kind of tongue. Now, we saw that last week or 2 weeks ago. The word kind, right, of tongues there, the word kind there is the word genus or genus. It's a word that describes family, right? That describes a family associated with something in common. Right, so genus, what you call, you know, gene, so to say. So genus, it describes a family, a tribe, a nation, a kindred. Did you get that? So what is he saying? He's saying to another, that is, another gift is a kind of tongue that is unique to a nation, or a kind of tongue that is unique to a family, or a kind of tongue that is unique to a tribe, a nation, a kindred. Are we together? He now says to another, or another is now going to be what? Interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one as self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Now, let's take it back from the beginning. Luke 3, who had to will? Jesus had to will to speak. Then we heard the utterances. Acts 2, who had to will? The people that were taught for 40 days and prayed in Acts 1 were the people that had to be willing and began to speak. So every day, saying, there's that time in your life where you should have that beginning moment. Pardon my English. Yeah? You should have that moment where you just want to begin. Begin what? You can start in tongues. You can end in any of the nine gifts of the Spirit. So he says, but this worketh that one as self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So who is doing the division? It's not the Spirit. The Spirit gives you all the varieties. Are we together? All right? So let me put this in context for you. So imagine, we said gift is charisma, right? And we said it's something that is natural, is a natural endowment on account of being born. Now, it's what you call supernatural faculties that are given by default upon account of being born. Now, what are your faculties, for instance? Let's say sensing, let's say feeling, let's say hearing, let's say talking, let's say moving. So imagine the Spirit is the, imagine God, when he was creating man, now this decides to divide all those things. So he says, you, Brother Joshua, you only be feeling. But Sister Esther, your own, you will only be seeing. Then anytime you want to feel, you go and tell Brother Joshua in the kitchen to come and help you feel, right? Then if you cannot feel and you're not convinced enough, you go and call Brother AY or Brother Steve or from anybody really and say, come and taste, right? So five of you have to be in the, that's trouble now. Do you understand? For every believer, there are natural endowments that are worth giving, that are there, that come with you upon being born. Same thing with being born again. So who does the division? Dividing to every man as he wills will be done by the man. So you as the man will be the one to what? Take from and divide. Or take from, don't forget, we started from somewhere. Spirit within, spirit upon. Did you get that? So when I speak in tongues, what am I doing? Dividing. So in my, I did a careful explanation of that verse last week Wednesday. You want to lay hands on that teaching? I don't have time for that this evening, right? Really. So it says, and they divide into every man severally as he wills. The word as he wills there really, will be the word in the Greek that means being deliberately willing. Now that's not the work of that's not the willingness in regards to the Holy Ghost. It's about the man who has received the Spirit. Don't forget, you see, if you look at verse 11, it says, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Look at verse 7. It says, manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. So if this manifestation of the Spirit, now we said the word manifestation means the unfolding, the making evident, right? So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. Why would the every man in verse 11 now start waiting for that same Spirit to divide to, for his own turn to reach? Did you get what I just said? right? To say that every man will wait, depending on how the spirit divides, will mean that actually verse 7 is a problem, because it says the manifestation of the spirit, right, is given to all men. So it is all manifestations given to all men that are saved, right? So what are the every man in verse 11? It will be the every man walking by the self-same spirit will now divide depending on what situation he calls for. Altogether, why do you think the man can determine? You see, so you have your natural instinct, natural ability to communicate supernatural abilities. What did I just say? Really means you don't have to be supernatural to be able to talk, but you have to be supernatural to be able to say God's will or God's plan or God's purpose, right? And remember we said earlier on, the same mouth you use to communicate your thoughts is the same mouth you use to communicate God's thoughts. Altogether. So who needs to be deliberately willing? The believer needs to be deliberately willing. So why would a believer will? Because the believer knows that God counts on him. Look at Romans 6:3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. So why should the manifestation of the Spirit be seen from every believer? Let me try make it make sense to you. Paul is writing to the Corinth church. If Paul is teaching that various believers, the Spirit of God will divide various gifts to various believers, how will Paul expect a complete church in Corinth? So because imagine people relocate. Trouble for your church. If the Spirit of God gives some of you tongues, some of you interpretation, some of you gift of healing, and those that can do healing, they decide to relocate to another country. What now happens to those? It means that you will only be doing tongues. God now help you. People that are interpreting now go. Trouble. I hope that example puts it in more context for you. That Paul cannot be teaching that the Spirit of God is dividing to various believers across the globe as the Spirit wills. It means you will eventually have a church that will have only tongues, or every tendency that there will be churches around the world that will have only people that speak in tongues. Why? And when they say, why don't you interpret your tongues? Because none of us here, the Spirit has not reached our tongue. Until another person from another church doing interpretation of tongues now relocates to your nation and then joins your church. Then I say, all the tongues you've been speaking for all this month, that's not how it's going to be done. Don't forget, Paul is writing to a church. So in our church, on account of one believer being in church, that believer is already supernaturally endowed with varieties of gifts. Anyways, look at verse 3 of Romans. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of what? His resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Look at verse 8. Now, if we be dead to Christ, we believe that we shall also be alive with him. Now, look at 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death had no more dominion over him. Right? For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Now, Paul did not just leave that message there. He now tells you, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. So what is he saying? On account of everything that I just said about what happened to Jesus, you are in identification with that. So reckon that with yourself. So he says, likewise, reckon ye also to yourself to be dead indeed, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So what is Paul teaching? That the believer is one who is alive unto God. It means that the believer can never stop being alive unto God. It means that our aliveness as believers unto God is because of the aliveness of Jesus Christ. Right? So in Jesus Christ's aliveness, we find our aliveness. Did you get that? So if he's alive unto God, we are alive unto God. By his work, through the work of Christ Jesus, we've been baptized in baptism. So we have been identified, we have been baptized, right? If you are baptized with sand, what does that mean? It means you identify with sand. If you are baptized with water, what does that mean? You are baptized with water. right? That's what people call water baptism. You know, and I've taught over time that the Bible, every time the Bible uses the word baptism, don't think of water. Until water is placed in front, that is when you can call it water baptism. Did you get that, right? The same thing with what you call Zoe. Like, a lot of us say the life of God is Zoe, right? Zoe is in me. Zoe dwells in me. I live in Zoe. I have Zoe. That statement can typically be made by any human on the earth as long as you are breathing and you can talk. Right, every human on this earth has Zoe. Zoe is not the God kind of life, right? It is Enos that qualifies the Zoe that makes it everlasting life, right? So I have Zoe is not unique to you. You have Zoe is not unique to me. It's just Greek word. Yeah? That's why it's easier to stay with English. Yeah. Anyways, not always. Yeah? But it says, likewise, you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sins, but alive unto God through what? What I mean is, when you want to go into the Greek, really, go deep and find out what is being said. Don't just follow cliches, right? Don't just follow cliches, right? It's just like agape. Agape does not a love. Is not a love of God. Indeed. No. It's just a word used to describe love, right? Yeah, the same thing with life. Yeah, Zoe, just a word used to describe life, right? Anyways. Right, so the Bible says we are in baptism. That means we have identified with Christ. We've identified. So now look at it this way: it is not your confession that leads to what you possess or your possession. It is what you've possessed leading to your confession. What is your possession? I am alive unto God already. So we are already alive unto God through Christ Jesus. So everything God wants us to do, we are able to do because the being alive is not in feelings. So if Paul teaches about the things of the Spirit, right? It's not about how you feel. You know, some people, they say, I don't feel tongues. I don't feel the Spirit of God. I have not noticed a lot of people that say, you know, they're waiting for the Spirit of God to come. Let me give you a trick. Don't use it though. Let me give you a trick. You know, if you get some of these people together and get a good keyboardist, not even a good keyboardist, somebody who can play basic keyboard with strings, right? Just ask them to come in front of you, play the keyboard, ask them to lift their hands and close their eyes and talk in tongues around them. Not even talk in tongues around them, right? You can talk in tongues around them or talk about tongues around them. Talk about how they can speak in tongues. Eventually, they realize that the Holy Spirit they're waiting for was initiated by the keyboard that was being played. You know, that what am I really saying? A lot of times, people, anyways, leave that for another day. So everything God wants us to do, to be able to do, He has given us His very best. What is the very best? His Spirit. So God did not leave us helpless, right? The Spirit of God in man is God's supply of help to man. Don't forget Genesis 2, the promise of help. God says, I will supply a helpmate to man. Who is the helpmate supply to man? The helpmate supply to man is Christ Jesus. Right, and on account of that helpmate supply to man, man has help. That's why Hebrews will now tell you, the Lord is my helper. Let the conversation be without covetousness, be content with whatever you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man does to me. Right, so God has supplied His help to you. So what do you do? What is His help? His help is the Spirit. So when you minister by the Spirit, what are you doing? You are supplying help from God by the Spirit, yeah, to man. What is that? You are actually supplying from the charisma that you receive by being born again. So a Christian cannot be more alive unto God than he was on the day he was born again. Right? So even when you are asleep, you are alive unto God. So it means that you can come out from a sleep, and because you are alive unto God by default, you can heal a sick man. You can come out from a sleep and get a sick man healed. Are we together? You can come out from your sleep. So don't let it stop in tongues. You can come out from your sleep and talk in tongues. The same way you can lay hands on the sick, you can prophesy, you can give tongues, give interpretation, you know, and do all of those things. So what did Paul say? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. Right? What does it mean to reckon? It means to acknowledge. Acknowledge what? That we are alive unto God. So it means that the fact that you are alive unto God means that supernatural and spiritual things are real to you. Wherever you are, just lift your hands and say, the supernatural is real to me. Say, the spiritual is real to me. Say, spiritual things are real to me. Yeah, they're real to me. Say, I can operate, I can function, I can flow with and by the Spirit of God. I can flow with the things of the Spirit because I'm alive unto God. See, because I'm alive unto His Spirit. I'm alive by His Spirit unto God. Hallelujah. So, the new birth by default, excuse me, is a miracle. Right? And what is the miracle about? Miracle is about the fact that God has, by His Son, by His Spirit, made us come alive. So, it's not about feeling. It's about reckoning. Yeah? Acknowledge. It's not about feeling. You might not always feel it, right? There's nothing entirely wrong about feeling. But the Christian faith is not a feeling-based faith. It's a knowledge-based faith. So you always need to keep re-acknowledging, right? You acknowledge, you acknowledge. You take into account that you are alive unto God. And because of that, you can do the supernatural. So Paul says, likewise, take into account ye also yourselves. That means consider and let this be a conviction. That you are not alive unto God through conviction or knowledge. It is you are alive unto God by what He has done. However, let your convictions get to a place that you acknowledge, that you reckon, that you know. So we continually keep reckoning, keep acknowledging that all Jesus has done it for once. And because He has done it once, I'm alive unto God forever. So you cannot increase your level of aliveness, right? But what can you increase? Yeah, you can increase your knowledge of your aliveness. Did you get that? Right? So if I say grow in aliveness, how do you grow? You grow in aliveness by growing in what? Your knowledge of being alive. Hallelujah. So you increase in your persuasions about that fact, but you don't, so you don't make yourself more alive by praying. No. So why do you pray? You pray on account of being alive because you know that God wants to do a lot through you on this earth. Because you see, there are lots of men on this earth who their Christian faith and their doctrine and their growth is hinged on your obedience. Are we together? You see, you might not pastor or be a cell member, a cell leader, a fellowship leader of 5,000 people, right? But you can minister and get a man saved who will reach 5,000 men, right? In that you are alive to God, you have a call. Are we together? So, what is my surety that I can participate in supernatural and spiritual things? It is because I'm alive unto God. So, you see, let me give you a trick again. So, it means for every time you want to feel anything of the Spirit, you can just say, I'm alive unto God. Right? It works like magic. Right? It works like magic. Just say, I'm alive unto God. So, someone reaches out to you, right? And someone says, oh, I'm having this, somebody is in the hospital. Yeah? Just first say under your breath, and you can even say it loudly, I'm alive unto God. I'm alive unto God. Say, I reckon that I'm alive unto God forever. Right? And just do what you need to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what is the assignment of Jesus' ascension? His assignment was to guarantee that we are forever alive. So, what do? We reckon. We reckon. So when we pray and we flow, it is that you are becoming more aware of your being alive, not that it's making you alive. So prayer doesn't make you more alive, but prayer makes you sure that you derive your dependency on account of the fact that you are alive because He's alive. Are we together? So on account of His, look at that again. It says verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sins, but alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ. Not just through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So His Lordship is my insurance. So my guarantee is on account of the fact that He is Lord. Are we together? My assurance. So on account of His Lordship, I can do the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. On account of His Lordship, I can do the things of the Spirit. On account of His Lordship, I can flow and give expression to the ability of the Spirit of God in me. Hallelujah. So, what does it mean to be alive unto God? It means to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means to receive the indwelling of the Spirit, to be washed by God's precious holy water, to be sanctified by His blood, that is, the washing by His Spirit, to come into His kingdom, the heavenly Jerusalem, that city of the living God, the city that is flowing with milk and honey, the city that is flowing with milk and honey of which you've eaten and you've been satisfied. Yeah? The city that has a bakery and the bakery produces a bread and the bread is the bread of God. God Himself through His Son, Christ Jesus, Jesus. And you've eaten that bread. You are not just left with bread to choke in your throat. You are left with bread and you are now given water to actually ease that, to actually ease that bread you've eaten. You never can choke on the bread, but let's assume something happens along the way, right? You've eaten that bread and there's what you call water. Now, don't get deceived, don't get it twisted. Really, that water is really the bread you ate. You literally just ate it as bread or water, depending on how you're explaining it, right? But the water of God is the bread of God that you ate. One and the same thing, right? So when you say, I've eaten bread, you know, when you want to eat bread in the morning, you eat bread and drink water. Yeah, you don't eat bread and put water beside your mouth, some people might be doing that. You put straw in your mouth as you're sucking the straw, you are putting bread in the butt. It's when it comes to the reality of our redemption. It is we have eaten the bread that gives. So on account of the bread, you have the license to flow in the things of the Spirit. Right? Not just tongues, but tongues and many others. Hallelujah. Right? Yeah? Don't forget, tongues and what? Many others. What are many others? Paul will say varieties. What are varieties? What would they be? They will be the varieties of the supernatural endowment that you receive by being what? Born again. Altogether. So who are you? You are one who you are in our brotherhood, in our togetherness as saints, we are alive unto God. Now, in our aliveness, there's an ability to what? Speak in tongues. Yeah? So Mark 16 will say, let they that preach the gospel or they that believe the gospel, this sign shall what? Follow them. So when it comes to the things of the Spirit, there's a permission to actually what be demanding. You can demand certain things. Are we together? Right? Are we together? We saw that on Sunday where Paul would say, covet these things, be zealous, to burn with zeal, to desire earnestly. Desire what? The flow of the Spirit. But Pastor, I don't think the thing is coming. No, flow. Yeah, in the fact that I'm a family member, because once you see another believer do it, just say that's my family member. Yes, if you can do it, I can do it. Yeah, it's really usually that way. Yeah. You see, there's not a single believer when they want to operate in word of knowledge that nothing comes to their mind. Not one. There is not one. You see that? Do you hear what I just said? There's not one believer that upon account of saying, I want to flow in, so I just say, I want to flow in word of knowledge, right? And nothing comes by the Spirit of God. It's not possible. Why? Because God is a talking God. God is a talking spirit. And God will always want to communicate, why, to supply help. You see, your fellow brother, sister, right? As long as we are dealt forces, right? People generally need God's help. Right, and because you are giving in the real sense to those things of the Spirit, you can supply help to man. 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 Right? There's someone listening to me right now. You're waiting for whoever to make a decision about a case. Right? By Spirit of God, let me just say to you that is sorted. Right? You're waiting for someone, maybe someone by extension leading to people to make a decision on a case that is sorted, and in the real sense, that is sorted to your favor. Right? Just rejoice in that. Right? Rejoice in that. I just give an example. Right? So there's no time that you will want to and nothing will happen. There's no time. There's not a single time. Right? So we can go on and go on and go on and go on. What should you always remember? I am alive unto God. I'm alive unto God forever. I'm alive unto God forever. I'm alive unto God forever. So in our brotherhood, we have aliveness. So there's an ability to speak in tongues in our aliveness. By extension, there's an ability to speak in tongues in our what? Brotherhood. So once you see a brother speaking in tongues, what do? You follow. Yeah, you see a brother interpreting tongues, what do? For every tongue you speak, because you can speak, you can interpret. Why? Because sama, same spirit. Same spirit, same Lord, same God. Same spirit, same God, same Lord. Are we together? So, to a people that have, different ideologies about these things, there might be that time of them trying to wait. Oh, I'm waiting. And after you wait for 5 years, you start speaking in tongues. Your tongues now start, you now first say it three, four sentences. Right? In the real sense. After that eventual conversation, and you now say, okay, now I finish this one. Let me for another 3 years interpretation. No. You see something? Think about light in your house. By the government, electricity has been supplied to your flat, to your apartment, to your building. What do you need to do for light to be in your house? Switch or flip the switch. Right? I think I'm going to title this teaching, flip that switch. Yeah? Flip that switch. Yeah? Just flip the switch and what happens? Light flows. So you want to supply light to a situation, what do you do? Flip the switch. See, it is not when you flip the switch that the government supply light to your accommodation. No. We just flip the switch so we can allow the light already supplied to flow. Same thing with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is already supplied as light in your life. Right? Don't forget, you are life unto God. That means you have life. What is life? His life is his light. Right? John 1. Right? And he was life, and the life was the light of men. Are we together? So we have received of his life. What do? We what? Allow it to flow. So we desire it to flow, then we flow. So a believer, regardless of his denomination, his doctrine, already has the Spirit. What does doctrine do for us? It helps us fine-tune the administration, the manifestation of the Spirit. Are we together? So one of the abilities in the gospel, one of the abilities in salvation, is the ability to what? Flow in tongues. That's why you see, for starters, Acts 2, what happens? And the Holy Ghost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the word, Holy Ghost, and what? They began to speak with what? Other tongues. Then Peter will stand up and begin to explain to them and say, you see all these guys? They are alive unto God. Yeah, that's what he was saying. They are alive unto God. And upon account of being alive unto God, they can what? Flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah.